Amen. And it's best to learn that truth from instruction rather than experience. You know what I mean? Experience the sinking sand, you know, oh, this is no good. But if you receive the instruction of God's word, it's better to learn that way. We went to that family conference last week, and one of the preachers was talking about that. Learn from instruction from God's word rather than the experience of messing up. But that's a good teacher. Okay, so just for a couple of minutes, we're going to have just a prayer time for you to prepare your heart and your mind for the lesson tonight, and then just whatever the Lord may lay upon your heart, bring before him. Colleen's going to play through for just a couple of minutes, and you go to the Lord and ask him to work in your heart tonight. And Father, we ask you to bless our time tonight in your word. Help us to glean from it what you'd have us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to see Marilyn Bell back there this evening. We talked on the phone today. She has one more radiation treatment. And then was it radiation? You have it up until the 20th. And then she doesn't have to go back for 6 months. So that's a good thing. So that's a praise. We praise the Lord for that. And there's lots of prayer requests and blessings that we'll share at the end of the service, but praise the Lord for answered prayer, amen. He does answer prayers, and we need to be prayer warriors. Open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at a few verses in continuation of a series that I've been preaching on the last few weeks. I appreciate Brother Richard covering last Wednesday night for me, and I'm sure you enjoyed that. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it yet, so I'll just say I bet it was really good. But I appreciate him doing that, and we're going to continue with this series, maybe this week and next, on words that every relationship needs to put into practice. And so we've talked about several of those. I was thinking in preparing for tonight's lesson that the title, I'll just tell you, is endurance or perseverance, and that is something, obviously, that we need in our relationships. And as I was considering the topic tonight, I got to thinking about how little things actually endure these days. I mean, let alone relationships, but just things in general. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But how many of you remember, like, your mother's, your grandmother's refrigerators and washing machines and things? They lasted for decades. And a lot of times, if they replaced them, it wasn't because they broke. It was because the style was so far out, they just needed to update. It just seems like things do not last like they used to. And I'm forever frustrated when I go through the checkout line at Walmart or someplace like that, and I'm buying a particular item. I think Christine and I were buying a toaster for camp in the summertime. I think it was a toaster. And it was like $20 for the toaster. And I got up to the checkout line, and what did they want me to purchase with this toaster? This $20 toaster, but an extended warranty. You know, I think it was $6 or $7 for an extended 3-year warranty on this $20 toaster. And I always have to bite my tongue because I want to say something along the lines of, would you just make a product that lasts at least 3 or 4 years, so I don't have to purchase the extended warranty. But that's everywhere. There's always a warranty option on the smallest of things, it seems, because things don't last like they used to. And sometimes it's poor care and poor maintenance that would cause that to happen. But it just seems like things should last longer. And I get tired when things just break all the time. Do you get tired of things breaking, of items in your life that maybe they don't seem like they endure, constantly needing to be fixed or replaced? Sometimes, if not frequently, it may be due at least in some part to our mishandling of the product, but sometimes they just don't last. Compare that feeling of frustration with these attributes and characteristics of God and his endurance. So we're going to be in Hebrews, but I'm going to just quickly read 5 verses from different portions of Scripture that will encourage you with the attributes of our God. Beginning with Psalms chapter 104, verse 31. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works." It will endure forever, right? Psalm 145, verse 13. "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." Jeremiah 10:10. "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. And his wrath, the earth shall at his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." Psalms 111, verse 3. "His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever." 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you." What a contrast to the things in our life that don't seem to last, that don't seem to endure, either because of the way they were made to begin with or because of the way we have treated them or the problems that we have brought in to the situation. Now, let me ask you this. When it comes to relationships, which is what we've been talking about, and we're not talking primarily about any specific relationship, not the husband and wife, not the brother-sister, not the parent-child, but all relationships in general. These are our words, our characteristics in Scripture that will help all of our relationships, our work relationships, our relationships with our neighbors, our relationships with our fellow church members. So don't single out any one particular relationship unless the Lord is dealing with your heart in that regard. I want you to know I'm not singling out one particular type of relationship. So we have talked about encouragement. We've talked about grace. We've talked about loyalty. And we've talked about forgiveness. And all of those are monumental and important in our relationships. But what we're going to talk about tonight is just as important, and that is endurance or perseverance. So I was hoping that over the last few weeks that you can point to some things that have stuck out to you that you're working on in your own life, that you're applying these principles to your own relationships. With that in mind, I want us to look now at Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 32, and we'll read down to verse 2 of chapter 11. We're going to look at this characteristic of perseverance or endurance. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, the Bible says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And then 2 verses of chapter 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now flip over to chapter 12, because we know now the rest of chapter 11 is what we commonly would call, of course, the Hall of Faith or the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, stories of great men and women whose lives were especially characterized by endurance, by faith, by perseverance. And that's a wonderful passage of Scripture, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. For sake of time, we're going to skip to the conclusion of that particular part, which is chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So these people, wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So, endurance, perseverance. With the time we have remaining, I want to give you a few steps to develop this in your relationship, this idea of endurance and perseverance. So, first of all, look at the faithful people around you. In other words, be motivated, be challenged by the faithful people around you. Now, don't say, if you say, well, there's no faithful people around me. Well, I would argue that because you're here tonight. And there are folks in this building who have been faithful for decades to the Lord. So just, it goes without saying that we should surround ourselves with faithful people of the Lord and be motivated and challenged by the example of faithful people. Now, that point comes from that phrase we see in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing about, we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what does that mean? I think I've shared this with you before, but this is one of those passages that some people will just claw at and take out of context. You know, I've heard preachers say, well, this is, you know, those loved ones that have gone before and they're watching us from earth and they're from heaven and they're a great cloud of witnesses in the grandstands of heaven watching over us. I think that would be a loathful existence. I mean, who wants to experience what the lack of sin is like in heaven and then go and watch a show on earth where mistakes are made constantly? I just don't think that's how it's supposed to happen. So it's important that we take the scripture in context. It's important for us to interpret the word of God in context. So that great cloud of witnesses is the people, the faithful men and women whose stories are told in chapter 11. Wherefore, we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. All of those wonderful names mentioned, Abraham and Noah and Isaac and all those that are mentioned in chapter 11, they are a cloud of witnesses. They are an example of faithfulness set before us to look at and to learn from. And that is just an old list. Now the list can even go on. We can look at faithful Christians throughout history that God has used and God has blessed. We can look at those who are older than us that have faithfully served the Lord over the years. And we can be challenged and we can be motivated by their faithfulness. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish men and women, many whom have largely been saved and had a relationship with Jesus Christ. A few who were just following, they weren't really repentant sinners, I don't believe, or repentant people, but they were still just sort of seeing what was going on. But by this time, both groups were getting tired of just the things that were going on, the challenges involved with being a Christian, and there was persecution on the church, and some of these folks were thinking about quitting. Man, I'm just sort of tired of all of this, and I'm just going to throw in the towel and go back to the temple worship, which was a lot more regimented and accepted and saved. So people were just ready to sort of give up, which is why we have this context now of perseverance and endurance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Chapter 10 in verse 35, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. You know, if you're a good Bible study person, you should, if you struggle with patience as I do, whenever that word pops up in your Bible, you ought to underline it. Maybe have a specific color highlighter or something, just underline patience. Because or long-suffering, we need a good dose of patience. And it clearly says there, for ye are in need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Some people face this in their relationship with God. Some people face this in their relationship with other people. They face this, I'm just tired of what I'm experiencing. I'm tired of the struggles, the problems that I'm having. And some individuals go through a relationships like lickety split, you know, trying to find one that will last. There's no perseverance. So someone hurts you. So, you know, they're off the Christmas list now, or someone disappoints you, and so they get the cold shoulder. And by the way, I'm not in any way minimizing how difficult that is. I understand that. It's hurtful in relationships to be receiving the hurt. I don't want to minimize that, but the question is, does God want us to find ways to endure or persevere in times of trial or not? I wonder how many of us might be tempted right now or some recently to just give up on another person or a relationship of some sort where the Spirit of God would say to you, cast not away therefore your confidence. Be faithful, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And if that's the case, one of the keys to building endurance is to look at the faithful people around you and say in your heart, you know, if God can help them persevere, God can help me. There's a great place in your life for good, faithful examples of people. I know there's lots in the Bible, and we should study those and we should learn those. But our companions, our friends, and the Christian life is not meant to be lived in a vacuum. And we can look at great examples of faithfulness that God has placed around us. And I believe that's one of the great benefits of being a part of a church family. Because you can look and you can see how people have been faithful. And we've have marriages that have lasted for decades in our church. And we've had people who have been in serving the church and praising the Lord together and worshiping together for decades. And of course they would have their war stories to share. Every marriage has war stories. Every relationship has difficulties that they could share. But I guarantee they would say they were glad that they found a way to communicate, to work things out. We've had some missionaries with us who serve in incredibly difficult, challenging fields. But they're not quitting. They're asking God to give them perseverance, to give them endurance. We have a dear missionary family with BMFP. His name is Bobby Burdett. And he's a bush pilot in Madagascar. And I've known of them for a long time, but Christine and I and the kids were privileged to meet them down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, a couple of weeks ago at the BMFP retreat. And I was amazed by the stories that they told. And when you think about it, you know, it's almost like a glamorous thing. I don't think of Madagascar as a glamorous place, but I think, wow, out in the bush of Africa and all these crazy wildlife. And he began to account some of the difficulties that they had faced and some of the challenges and some of the discouragement. Now, granted, it was an atmosphere that was suitable for that because there were a bunch of missionaries there and it was a great time of encouragement. But I've now since became friends with them on Facebook. And since they've only been back from Madagascar 1 week when we were at the Pigeon Forge retreat. So now it's been 3 weeks that they've been in the U.S. Their daughter, who's 3 or 4 years old, has never been to North America. So she's going from Madagascar to North America and seeking, you know, toilets that flush and electricity. She's just enamored with everything. But she got sick. And she's been in and out of the hospital with a couple of different issues since then. And I was looking last night, and Brother Lyons, the president of BMFP, sent out a message that they were stuck on the side of the road in West Virginia because the serpentine belt gave out on their car. And it would seem like one struggle after another. And I looked on his page, and he said, oh, here we are again. He wasn't really complaining, but, you know, it's just trusting the Lord to help them. And somebody did, and I noticed today he said something along the lines of, sorry, I was a little bit down last night. But I thought, man, one trial after another, and yet they are enduring for God and persevering for the Lord and plugging away. I thought, man, Lord, help me be that faithful when nothing seems to be going the way I want it to go. And look to those individuals who are trusting in God. And don't mimic them, but look at the Christ-like qualities in them. That's the thing about a good, solid Christian. You're not going to lift that person up. You're going to look at Christ in them. That's why we're supposed to be examples of Christ. We're supposed to live Christ as an example to others, not so they put us on a pedestal, but so that we shine the light of Christ. He must increase, and we must decrease. And that is evident in the lives of people around us if we'll surround ourselves with the right kind of relationship. Oftentimes, perseverance is the result of handling a hard time well. You know, you can't go through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons and say, I'd like a sack of patience and endurance, please, and I need it like right now. You just can't get it that way, right? It takes some time. It takes some difficulties. Romans chapter 5 in verse 3 and 4 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. And I just taken aback and say, that's hard, Lord. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, I realize you might say, well, Pastor Tricky, I don't know what to do when one of these relational challenges hits. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond. And then you have this thought later from the same book in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It's one of my favorite verses. I quote it frequently. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. What does that mean? It means that we learn from the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Where does perseverance come from? Well, an important answer to that is it comes through knowing the Word, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, through examples, through Hebrews chapter 11, of all the difficulties that these great Hall of Faith people were serving in. And I know I pointed this out before as well, but it's worth saying tonight, those people in Hebrews chapter 11 are people who were not perfect, who were sinners, who had difficulties, who had struggles. It's worth getting patience and comfort and encouragement from the Word of God. But so many times our flesh kicks in and we react by sending a nasty text or a flaming email. And you know what we ought to do is shut all of that off at that very moment and say, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to make sure my response to this situation lines up with the Word of God. And I want to pray about this. And while you're doing this process, and it is a process, you can follow the example of godly people you've met and godly people in Scripture who dealt with criticism and difficulties and persecution. You know those supposed preachers that were accusing Paul of saying crazy things just so they can make a name for themselves? And he said, whatever, at least they're preaching the gospel, essentially is what he said. He just was sort of like water off a duck's back, really, for Paul. He didn't really like what they were saying, but because they were preaching the gospel, even saying things about him that were maybe costing his reputation, he responded with, the gospel's being preached, and I'm going to pray and trust that people will be saved. Have that. Look to that great cloud of witnesses. Open your Bible. Your heart will be more open to the life-changing principle of God's Word if you will pause before you act and look to the Word of God. You know, Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Isn't that profound? Now you think about it, it's a simple statement. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we can use relational blips or relational hiccups, if you will, as an opportunity to contemplate the model of godly people and the truth of the Word of God, people who have had successful relationships, people who have, in Scripture, who have stood the test of time. What does Psalm 119:71 say? You'll know it when I start saying it. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. I mean, are you able to say that? It's not easy to say. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I hope you're surrounding yourself with a group of godly people who can model for you what it means to develop endurance in your relationship through the application of biblical principles, even when it's hard, and maybe if you really don't even feel like doing it, because let's be honest, if we did what we felt like doing, then essentially we'd just be children, right? We'd be immature, and we need to grow in the Lord and surround ourselves with good Christian people, and as a result, then we have hope in our heart, because if God helped them endure, he can help me, and God can give me patience. One of my concerns as, I was going to say one of my concerns as a pastor, but really, it's one of my concerns as a human being. is the capacity of the generation coming up to commit to anything. You know, just to have a commitment to a job or a career or a relationship, they are constantly us as well, constantly bombarded with this and that. And even when you try to turn on the news, you have the news anchor here and you got a little word up here and you got it scrolling on the bottom. Just everything is so, it's hard to commit to one thing. And this idea of perseverance and endurance and serving the Lord for the long haul, it just seems to be becoming less and less. All of that is important, but it leads to a question. Am I supposed to surround myself with people that can help me, but am I supposed to pull myself up and do this all in my own strength? You know, I'm supposed to do this all on my own. Well, that's why the next section is so important. That is that where we're to keep our eyes on the Savior who persevered and endured for us. I love this word picture. Look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your eyes on your Savior who persevered or who endured for you. Just the first three words we can stop and camp at for a moment. Looking unto Jesus. Don't you love that picture? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto the Savior. Carefully evaluate your focus during a time of trouble, during a time of trial, during a time of relational tension. Get a focus on Jesus. What is my reaction here? Is this me? Is this my pride? Is this my immaturity? How is Jesus looking at this? How do I need to respond in a way that will please the Lord? There are many potential wrong goals when someone disappoints you or hurts you or mistreats you in some way. There's lots of wrong options to that, right? And we could probably share examples of how we have displayed those wrong options in our response to relational trouble. Think about what happens when you are faced with this kind of difficulty. What does your mind immediately gravitate to? You know, if somebody hurt me, my mind is, I'm going to hurt them back. You know, I'm going to react, or I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to gossip about them. I'm going to discredit them in front of other people because they've done this to me. I'm going to cut them off so they can never hurt me again. There's all sorts of objects on which we can place our focus. But verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you, my friend, are the joy that was set before him. This has a way of recalibrating our relational tendencies, right? If we want to, our sinful tendencies, if we want to respond wrong, looking unto Jesus, despising the shame, the joy of the cross, the joy that he saw and that sent him to the cross. Times of relational tension are the perfect opportunities to follow and thereby become more like Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, it goes without saying, doesn't it? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The principle is frequently, it's at that very point of relational tension where people are really poised to take a big step of growth. When you're tempted to turn the other way, you're really posed to take this great step of growth, but then because it got hard or it got awkward or there was problems, we've turned away now and we've ran away from the situation, and it sort of resets the maturity meter in our relationships. And it's not healthy. It might feel like it's something really good. Oh, I just got away from that problem. But what happened is you've really just reset yourself for the same experience. And so what you're experiencing that may be comfort is just repetition of the familiar, when God intends for you to go even further. God intends for your maturity level to grow and for that relationship to endure, for you to stand the test of time and faithfulness and please the Lord in your relationships. What might feel like something that's really good for a period of time is just the familiarity of doing the same thing over and over again. You know, people that especially that don't like change, right? Or don't like things to be different. This I'm familiar with. I've done this before. I can control this. But then to work on a problem, to really go forward, is difficult. Perseverance comes from becoming more like Jesus Christ. Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And the kind of persevering faith we're talking about finds its source in our crucified and risen Lord himself. And I realize you might say, but wait a minute, you said we're thinking about this in context. What about the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? All these Old Testament saints, how could Jesus have been the author and finisher of their faith? He wasn't even born yet. Well, what's the answer to that question? He is the pre-existent one. I like what one of my college professors used to say, the birth of Jesus Christ is just one of his more recent accomplishments, right? Because he's the pre-existent one. He's always been. He's God in the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the one that we're to be looking to, and he's the only one that can legitimately help us in our relationships. And really, he's really the pinnacle of all the qualities we've talked about loyalty. We find loyalty, examples of that in Jesus Christ. Encouragement, we find examples of that in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, we find monumental examples of that in Jesus Christ. Grace, he is our example. So looking unto Jesus applies to all of these things and more. I had another word that I was going to use for these relationships, but really I preached, if you're in the Sunday afternoon service on Sunday, I preached about it then, and that's the issue of transparency, being open about our struggles and being willing to understand that we're all sinners and we all are in this together and being gracious with one another as a result of that. We need to work on persevering. As a Christian, let me just ask you, are you committed to perseverance? And is that obvious by the way you stay in there and try to communicate biblically and solve problems with people in your life? And you know what? Sometimes we need help with that. Sometimes we need to seek help. I understand that. But God does set the example for us in Scripture. There's no such thing as short-term endurance. Look at that last verse and I'll be done. Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. We read it. But it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." So when you have that moment of weakness, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners, and be encouraged looking unto Jesus. Are you in it for the long haul? We are in need of perseverance and endurance, and ever so important in our walk with God. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. And Lord, I know these things, sometimes it's one of those old cliches where we would say, well, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Easier said than done. But Lord, that's true of the principles in Scripture, and we need your help. Lord, we are but flesh. We are weak, and Lord, I freely admit that to you. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your Spirit. And Lord, I need to be reminded of the verse that we so often quote, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Lord, when it comes to relationships, we need your strength. We need your help. And Lord, thank you for providing for us multiple examples of long-term faithfulness, none greater than Jesus Christ himself. So help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we may endure in a way that would please you and our relationships. Thank you for our time together tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.